make sure we have the proper number of people here to check roll here. So we've got Supervisor Franco, Supervisor O'Day, Supervisor Caro, Supervisor Gashke, and Tim, you're on the committee too, right? Or are you just sitting? I didn't think so. Like, I don't normally see you here, so. That's just the four of us, and then Supervisor Bashaw, I talked with him, I figured he was supposed to be here. There he is. Supervisor Bashaw's here, and then also we have Chairman Nudo with us as well. Just want to check that we have certification of compliance with Wisconsin's meeting law.
Yes.
We got that? Okay. Sounds good. And now we, item number two. Sorry, wait, another roll call. Youth and Government, I don't see any youth and government here.
I didn't get a call from either one of them either.
Rebecca's not going to be here, but Mackenzie said she would be.
Okay, all right. She can join when she gets here. So item number two, we have review and recommendation to the Finance Committee regarding the proposed 2023 UW Extension budgets. So who is presenting and reviewing that today? Christy?
It is.
Hello.
Hi.
Does everybody know everybody here or any, you know everybody?
I don't know. I know some, not all. But I'll just introduce myself, if that's okay.
That would be first order of business.
Great. So thank you for having me. My name is Chrissy Nguyen. I'm an interim area extension director, taking over for, as Terry left, and filling in the gaps of the area director until the position is rehired. So I have been an area director since 2017. I serve Walworth, Jefferson, and Rock counties, and then this is an additional one for me. I actually was an interim for Racine and Kenosha in 2020 also, so I've been here twice. So I'm familiar with the budget process, went through the beginnings of the budget process last time, submitted the budget, now I'm entering into the end of the budget cycle and here today. So. I will talk through a little bit of the budget, and then if you have any questions or comments, certainly welcome to that, and I'll answer those to the best of my ability. So extension is on...
It's on page four of the handout that
Thanks.
I pass around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, page four. So
I can just explain a little bit of what's
you
here.
Okay.
If you,
and then
you
I can jump
to.
In with the positions or whatever.
I'll do the logistics and you can do the explaining. Okay, page four, the UW Extension budget, well, I'll just explain. This committee really approves the UW Extension budget, and it goes to the DPW committee next Monday night, because that committee kind of has some oversight, because Shelley has some oversight, but this is the direct responsibility. It's this committee, then it goes through Public Works, and then it goes to Finance, then it goes to the County Board. P&D is a little bit different. We're going to go over it here. You have to go through, but the formal approval for that committee happens next Monday night at the Public Works Committee. But if you have comments or changes, they're certainly going to listen to them when we have our meeting next Monday night. And then that goes to Finance, whatever. So UW Extension really has three chunks to their budget. The first chunk is on page four, and it's called their office department. And we just put on here the 2022 budget and compared it to the 2023 budget. This is the same exact numbers that are in your budget book. And at the top, they really have one part-time person who works for them and takes care of all the outside stuff and does some other part-time duties, not a FTE, no benefits, and there's some payroll for that person. Then there's data processing costs, other professional services, we'll get to that in a second because it's a separate page, a separate amount. And then there's their supplies, printing and duplication, mileage and travel, staff development. What it boils down to, and this is totally funded by levy because this particular Department of UW Extension doesn't receive any revenue from anywhere. So the total operating expenses are levy for this year's budget are $231. Next year it's $236. With the major increase being in other professional services. So if you flip to the next page in your handout, goofball here where it has a line out on community development. That's just a copy thing. It's not a, that person is still there. That's Amy Grile's job. Right now, that position is open, and you're hiring for it in the process of, or will be?
Will be, yeah.
Okay. And the other position is the agriculture educator, which is a half of a full-time equivalent. And that position is also open. Mm-hmm. And they're in the middle of hiring for that. So the 2022 budget, $208,000. 23 budget, $215,000. This is the lion's share of the UW Extension office budget. And I'm going to stop talking here. If you guys got any questions about these people, that's more a Chrissy sort of thing.
So, from what I understand with UW Extension, there's an agreement that we have, and we share people with Racine County. So, are these, when I see a half full-time person, is that because they're split between Racine County and Kenosha County, or how does that work? You know, if there's some, the people in here versus Racine County out.
Yeah, right, so you're exactly right. So for the horticulture educator, the agriculture educator, those are both shared with Racine County. So they pick up half of the cost. Kenosha County picks up the other half of the cost. All the remaining costs for an educator are picked up by the university.
There's the half right there.
Yeah.
BJ's half.
BJ's.
Sure.
Yeah.
I got it. For the community development educator, I remember when Amy was here, she had said that she spent time in doing stuff for Racine or doing other stuff for the university. So how does that get reflected into a full-time person if there was a share, if there was a split?
Yeah, there wasn't a split with Racine. It would just happen that some of her work landed in Racine County or maybe on the border of the county. So for all of our educators, they focus in on county needs So they focus in on county needs and what communities need in the county. They also have some responsibilities to some of our statewide work, too, that's happening, and add value to that because they're knowledgeable people. So with Amy, she maybe had some connections into Racine, but it wasn't a formal agreement where there was some sharing there with the cost.
Okay. I can tell you, the way this works, the state, no matter where you are in the state, if you're a county and you hire a community development educator, they pay, we pay them $43,000. That person could make $50,000, $60,000, whatever. We just pay that amount. And then as they bill us in the course of the year for this, if we don't have those people, we don't pay for them.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. In 2020, the 20 or 21 budgets were kind of similar, maybe a little bit less than this because they, same people, but they changed the numbers. In 2020, we only paid $166,000 for these jobs. And in 2021, we paid $151,000 because they weren't full.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct.
So we only pay for what we use.
Yeah. Another example is we just hired the 4-H educator. For those months that was vacant, the state will not charge Kenosha County for that. For that portion of the fee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what the budget is, here's the people, but it's only in on an as, it's as needed, or not as needed, but as provided, the services provided.
As provided, yeah. I won't go into too much detail, but if for the community development educator, now that that's vacant, if we have an opportunity and something comes up and we say, oh gosh, we need an educator to support that, and another educator from around that, you know, and in another county is providing that service, then there might be a little bit of a, you know, fee for the fee included in there, but it just depends on, like for agriculture right now, we don't have anyone providing the service, so we won't be charged any fee for when we don't have an educator on board. It's through an annual contract that we do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to flip along to the next page because I mentioned there was three departments for UW Extension. We looked at the first one that's levy funded. The other two departments, they're smaller departments, they're on this page 6. And the top one is what we call the UW Extension Programs. We run a lot of classes, and we collect money for those programs, and then we have to pay expenses for those programs. So we put a budget out there every year, and next year's budget, it'll be the same as this year's budget for that particular department. Now we might, and there's no levy involved. These programs have historically funded themselves. And I'll give you an example. We have a carryover from prior years where these programs have made money. And at the beginning of 2022, the carryover amount is, I think it's about $47,000. So if we overspent in these departments, like the expenses, I don't think I put them on here, but in 2021, and this is in your budget book, the actual expenses for this department were about $19,000, and we collected almost $13,000 in revenues, so we had a small loss. So we would have dug into that number, carryover number, it would have been 50 something. So now it's down to about 47. And this year, the same thing. If we spend over the amount that we take in, that carryover just gets reduced. And it's not shown here, it's in the budget resolution where it says these numbers can officially be carried over. So we kind of set the budget for the same amount. We're not exactly sure what we're going to do. We made money. We obviously have made money if we have this carryover that goes back. So we're sitting at the beginning of this year, we had this $47,000 carryover. And UW Extension after school program is the bottom one. That we have a budget in there for if we need to run an after school program and we hire the Unified to do it. The expenses, whatever they spend, we get back in revenue. And well, we haven't even spent anything the last 2 years. It's been a zero program. So we have a budget in there based on what happened a few years ago. So, but in 2020 and 2021, no expenses, no revenues. But again, they're basically, this one does, I don't think it has a carryover, but.
The original money came from KUSD to fund that account.
Yeah. So those are the two programs that really don't either have a carryover or no levy. And that is a UW Extension budget. The big thing is the UW Extension positions and what we'll do with those. My favorite words are, is there a motion to approve this budget?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the proposed UW Extension budget.
I'll second.
Okay. Got a motion and a second to approve the budget. Any other discussion on this? A couple questions if you could.
Yeah, go ahead. Not to take too fine a pencil to it, but mileage and travel, you have the reduction of $1,000 off of $7,000 to $6,000. That's substantial. Are you? What's changing in your activity levels that they're at?
Well, assuming that Terry, when she submitted this, had looked over some historical numbers, I'm assuming that number is more based on past. Yeah.
Actuals.
Right. Does it make me a little nervous? Yes, to have less money in that account. I even have asked about that, but so we'll see what happens throughout the year. But Terry, I'm sure, made her best estimate with that based on probably not 2020, but you know, a few years before that.
Where the program director and horticulture was talking about doing something with the prisons, et cetera, I was surprised by that one. It caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm good.
Thank you.
the question I have for you, Jim, was in the overall budget then, that reflects the numbers that we see here, just carry forward?
Yes.
So I just didn't know if there was, it looked like everything was in there, but I just want to just ask that question to make sure. So currently it's in the budget, just the way we presented it now.
Yes.
All right, so I guess I'll call the vote. All those in favor of recommending this budget? Oh, sorry. Kenzie, right?
Good job.
I'm learning it. No, it's something sticking in there. So so we'll ask Kenzie, how would you vote on this? Favor of it, okay. So now I'll ask the board members, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? All right, motion carries.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Next.
We'll talk about the P&D budget. If you guys want to hang around from you, you're more than welcome to hang around.
I'll hang around.
So after we're done, there's another meeting where they actually go into the real work that they do as far as, okay, just, okay, page one starts with the planning and development budget. Okay, just a few comments on this is a normal format that we've used for about 10 years since I've been here, where we, every budget, and those of you who are on the other committees, especially the finance committee, you'll see this. I see Mr. Franco, the way it was said, General Day's probably seen it too, Daniel and others, where these are the numbers directly out of the budget book, and we put it in by the major expense categories and the major revenue categories for every division that we do, and this is the P&D division. The top part here, you can, I don't expect you to be able to read all these numbers. This is the expense part, and this is the revenue part, and then on the down in the bottom, we show the net, and down on the bottom there, as far as levy goes, there is a $10,000 decrease in levy for this division from 22 to 23. And then there's a summary of the major changes, expenses, and revenues, and then we'll elaborate on a few of them specifically. And then if you saw anything in the budget book, be happy to answer that too. For personnel, the whole personnel categories, all the salaries and all the benefits, we got the same people, same number of people, and I think exactly the same people from 22 to 23. So there's no changes. It goes up because of any benefit changes they might make from I don't know if anybody changed from single to family or whatever. And then the raises that are built into this, it's my understanding that they have, as far as payroll goes for individual people, there's a 3% midpoint, 3% or midpoint increase for payroll for everybody. And then there's 1% at the beginning of the year. So that should be baked in here. And then at the company level or the county level, they put in an extra $500,000 to account for potential changes that may come up because of as they complete the wage and salary study. If that, none of that is in here because we don't know if it affects planning development people, but that's what's happening when you're on the other committees. That should be baked into everyone's budgets. So as far as the personnel component, there's really, it's the same people and with their normal increases. So for contracted services, we're going from 238 to 252,000. That is just an increase in, let's see, the major components there would be, there's in that we have an account called sewer pack expenses, and that sewer pack increase was about $15,000 from one year to the other. So that's the major increase there. I don't know, Andy, you can comment on anything you want. But
and just so you know, with that, we don't have a choice on what that is. That's all baked into how sewer pack runs, and it's set based upon each county's equalized value. And so whatever that formula comes out to be, that's what the number is. And that's what the number is for this next year.
Okay. The next line is inspection services, and you'll notice that there's a 22 budget for $50,000, and then there's a 23 budget under the expenses for $145,000. If you go down to the revenue section, you'll see that there's inspection fee revenue of the exact same amounts. So what we had planned to do in 2022, we are going to help three towns, Brighton, Paris, and what's the other one?
Randall.
We're going to take over their inspection, their building inspection service administration. We're not going to take over the inspecting because there's like people that we hired to do that. But in 2022, we thought we would have that program up and running by now, so we'd have $50,000 in expenses, $50,000 in revenue. It didn't work out. We're still kind of working through some of the contract stuff. Everybody wants to do it, but there's just not pen or ink on the contracts yet. So for the whole year of 2023, we will be we'll be taking in, estimating about $145,000 in revenue, and about a chunk of that goes to pay for the inspectors. And the other chunk, we have promised to give back to the towns. Right now, they're making money off of it. They're making 50% off of it, approximately. So we promised them that we would break even, and any money that was left over after we covered our costs would be distributed back to them to be included with their budget, because right now it's included in there, they're making money. So this is the same thing we did last year, we just have not been able to get it cranked up. So it's Paris, Randall, Brighton. So those, as far as the expense and the revenue, they really cancel each other out, but it makes some of the numbers look like they went up. But so the next component is the supplies, which actually went down. We had some decreases in some of the supply accounts. And then the last component is fixed expenses, which is primarily insurance that we get a quote from our insurance people, and that's gone up. So we really don't have any control over that. So underneath the revenues, we are going to experience a $10,000 increase in the state aid for land conservation. Go from 120 up to 130, so that'll increase our revenues. The permit fees is going to increase substantially, from $85,000 up to $115,000. Andy puts together this beautiful summary of the last 20 years or something on permit revenue, so I can pass it on if you want it, or you can take it when you leave, but that's based on an estimate. We've had some down years, now it looks like it's going back up again. And this isn't building inspection permits, like that's a different thing. This is all
zoning.
It's all zoning.
All zoning permits. And then just one thing, Jim, because we got our state aid sheet today, and they're indicating that we're actually going to get $148,997.
That's good news. Didn't
up. Yeah, so it's
130.
From 130.
What's the number again?
$148,997. And there's formulas that are baked in at the state on that, and so we always estimate at a conservative number, because we don't exactly always know the big pot and how it then gets divided amongst the all 72 counties. So that's a positive.
How do you, my one big question here is, how do you know that you're going to increase by a pretty decent percentage on the permits and land use fees?
Well, we kind of look at our trends and see where we are through June of this year, and we always kind of estimate those things, and obviously how things were with COVID and all that, there things just changed. And so the trend that we're seeing is that we're on track for on how we were previously, and previously we were kind of around this number.
Okay, so the 85,000 is a decrease from what you've been previously because you saw a slowdown.
Correct. Yeah. I think I don't know, do you have the previous years? Was it 110 or something? But you can kind of
hear what
Yeah, so I mean, we go up, we go down, and we kind of try to work with the trends, and part of it is also trying to just, like, usually what I try to do, and like what I give Jim, is I try to, like, smooth out the averaging and look at, like, the last 5 years so that we don't have these types of things, and it's a little bit more kind of a roller coaster thing. So right now it looks like the trend is up, and that we should be able to do that because we're going to hit, I think we're going to hit that number this year.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so we're going to be way up this year above 85.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was going to ask to see what you expect to get from this year. How much you answered that.
Yeah, so I think we're going to be on the same
110, 115
track.
This year.
Yep.
Just when you see that big of a jump, I always think about that being risky and wondering.
Right. So usually finance doesn't allow us to be risky. In this case, though, that we can see the trend is there because of what happened, right, the last 2 years.
Okay, the Summers revenue component is we have a contract signed with the Village of Summers to be there to perform all their duties as far as what all you do besides zoning, just zoning?
Zoning, planning, yeah, everything.
So we have a contract signed with them. We've talked in the past to a couple other villages, but I don't think we have anything in the hopper for next year other than Summers. There's the inspection fee revenue we talked about. And then development review verification, we're projecting an increase there from 10,000 to 15,000. That's money we get from developers. We have to do some work for them. Our staff might do some work for them. So this is the revenue they give us to compensate for that. And it all comes down to a levy balances it out to a decrease of 10,000. And I will say that since Andy just said he's off by 19,000, doesn't mean we're going to just try to figure out a way to spend that. That don't happen.
And just one comment, I want to make this so you're aware that the Summers revenue, I mean, that's not the full contract. That's, so the contract and how it's written with Summers is we, I think it's 88,000 for 2 years, that's ending this year, and we're going to up that to 92,000 for the next 2 years. So all the revenue that we take in for all the permits and inspections and everything decreases from that amount, and whatever's left over, Summers writes out a check to cover that difference, and we expect that to be about 35,000.
So that's the remaining balance?
Correct.
Yeah.
The net, essentially the net.
Correct.
Okay. And that any of the expenses associated with that revenue are part of the personnel line item up above, because it's all personnel.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So back to your comment, Jim, about the land conservation state aid that goes up. Does that mean that our levy is going to go down a little bit, or maybe not one for one? Or just curious on how that would work.
Down.
Yeah, it goes down.
Okay. Coming back around to the permits and land use fees, you know, it does feel like kind of trend in the market is that things might be cooling down as far as, you know, residential development and maybe commercial development with, you know, inflation pressure, supply chain, you know, interest rates climbing, stuff like that. You still pretty confident in that number?
Yeah, because we're
some of the headwinds that we might be
it's
facing?
Not so much in the single family because that's just been down the whole time. So it's just everything else is that there's just been people have just been looking to do other things than build a new home.
Okay.
And that just doesn't seem to be changing much.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, quick question on the building fees part. Coming from Brighton, I know we have retirement and that's why I'm coming to the county to take that on. But you said you contract out then for the actual inspectors?
Correct, and if that retirement wasn't happening, he would have been one of them.
Okay.
As part of the team.
Okay. I was just curious if he was retiring from one role to take on another as a consultant or something.
In this case, he's decided, and he's kind of told us all along, that he may just decide just to retire and not move on and kind of try this new way of doing business, because he would be subcontracted out then.
You know, we kept a real low profile when it came to Mr. Fox you're talking about, because we did not in any way want to look like we were forcing him out. And both John Holloway and Sue Crane were pretty clear, and I guess he told Sue that is officially going to retire. I heard that yesterday. We thought it was going to happen, but if he, what would have, when we hired the inspector that we're going to hire, and in fact, it's the guy who does Randall, Clearline, Ellis Borders, his name. He said if he had to anything to do with over there, he'd give work to Don, so he wouldn't lose anything if he didn't want to retire. But now I guess he's going to officially retire, so we'll move forward with this inspection.
Signaled it almost a year ago already.
Yeah. Well, we didn't want anyone to think we're kicking anybody out. It wouldn't have been very cool on our part to do that. So.
Well, everybody thinks that anyway, I suppose.
I think from what I've heard through the grapevine, Ellis is even on the point of, you know.
Yeah, technically you were going to go with his son's company because right. Ellis is going to go work with his son.
Right.
So that was just announced a month or two ago. So that is another reason why I kind of got held back from starting this year. But these are all reputable firms. And right now,
Ellis does it for Twin Lakes, and that's where Aaron's
from. He does
from.
Randall, too.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the
guys.
Services out there as much as we can, but it's a dwindling.
There aren't a lot of inspectors around.
No.
It's just. In fact,
hard deal.
In fact, Paris uses Temple Panda from Paddock Lake to do a lot of their inspections. It's a small world. I never would have thunk, but
just for people that have all the correct licenses, you know, that's the problem. Very slim.
We struggled for a long time trying to find some inspectors at Twin Lakes, and we bounced through a couple of them. And it wasn't so good, but we ended up with Ellis, and it was good. Now he's retiring.
And so the company is his son, right? And then Ellis will be working for his son.
There's still a lack of interest in doing that.
And this is the thing, too, I want to let you know. You know, if some of you are kind of new on this when we presented it last year, is the whole scope on this in bringing building inspection services to planning and development is because it creates a one-stop shop. Because we have the zoning, we have the sanitation, and then the towns have the building inspection. So in this way, it's one place to go to get the permit for all three or any combination of them. And with our permitting system and the upgrade that we're making, we'll be able to do everything online, including the building inspection permits, which have not been, and obviously not on our end. So our actual desire is that we don't even really see people having to come in because of the inconvenience, that they can apply online at any time of the day, any day of the week, and you know, process it the next day. And again, if it's any one of those three permits or any combination thereof.
Are you working with any other municipalities currently that get on the program too, or is that pretty
no, well? Not currently.
I mean, we're working with
now. We've talked with others, but these are the ones that said yes. And others have kind of, and Twin Lakes have even said that they kind of want to do a little wait and see. And some others have indicated that they might be interested when their current building inspector leaves, because, I mean, there's some other retirements that are going to be happening in the next handful of years.
But like Jim said, the biggest issue with the whole deal is how does the revenue get distributed? So if it's cover the cost and then you guys get the balance, then that seems like a workable solution.
Yeah, we did an analysis. We talked to every one of these towns, and they showed us their numbers of what they spent and what they took in over the last few years. So we kind of worked it out, and each of them's going to end up getting, I don't know, $20,000 or something, whatever was in their budget for revenue. And the way the contracts read, we're going to pay them that amount. Then at the end of the year, we'll go back and reconcile, and we'll true it up or down, depending. The idea is the county doesn't make any money. We don't want to lose any money. So I think we'll be able to handle all that. It's not huge dollars, but it's the benefits are, they don't have to do anything unless there's a complaint, and then they have to handle that part of it. But all the administration is done by either the inspectors or by our shop.
So you enter this program because it is more streamlined, more efficient, etc. Do we gain by efficiencies, or?
We should, yeah. Okay. Especially if we're using it. Right now, Don Fox has office hours, 1 hour between 6 and 7, one day a week. So technically, we'll have office hours as much as Andy's shop is open now. Will his people be able to answer every question? No, but will Ellis or his son John be able to come in here and have an office and a desk
Yep. So it's win-win-win all over the place. One-stop shop.
The other thing that it does is it probably takes administrative time off the plate of the inspector, who would normally be doing administration duties when they have office hours, putting it on people that do administration stuff, and then just leaving the technical questions to be the thought, I guess, right?
Yes, that is part of the thought.
Yeah, and it really is some of the duties of the clerks, because they have to submit information, and so we'll have IT set up the information that has to be sent to the state electronically, whereas in some of the towns, they don't have it electronically, so they have to send it by paper.
Okay, so that's the big P&D department. There's a couple of littler departments we'll get to in a second. But if you just look to the next page, there's one P&D project, and that is the South Pike project, and it's on page 2 of the handout. Now, the numbers that are on this for 24 and 25 are exactly the same numbers that were in the 2022 budget book. But last year, we were looking at, okay, for this year, we got a budget for like $2,000,001 for something and some change for land. And in the 2022 budget book, we had put in there that construction would be in 23 and 24. We've moved it out. The construction will happen in 24 and 25. So there's really nothing in this budget for this plan. Now, where we're stuck right now is we've been asked to put off, we need to have the plat plans approved before we can start the negotiation with the landowners. That went to finance last month. They recommended that it get put off until after the budget process, so we won't be having any more discussions in any of the committees or in the budget with as far as asking for more money. But we have some work to do as far as getting back to the people, because there's been a bunch of questions asked. We want to clarify everything. And there's we're still working on some other sources of revenue. This budget shows in 2025 that we'd be getting like $1.5 million in revenue. So we're working on various sources there. So as far as the 23 budget for this project, there's nothing. And until we get the plat plans approved, we can't negotiate anything for the land. And we can't even begin to take that next step again until the summer. So that's the story on the South Pike project. None of the numbers have really changed, though.
So to be clear, this is for information only. Mm-hmm. If there's a vote and a recommendation to approve, this isn't tied to it.
In any capital budget, the only thing any committee ever approves all the way up to the county board is 2023. 24 through 27 is information only. Okay, the next page. We have several smaller departments. I'm going to see if I can figure this out to view. And I highlighted the four that apply to this committee. There's a Board of Adjustment, which has three people, and we pay them some money when they're doing their work per diem, and then we have to pay FICA. And if there's any legal fees, we would have to pay those. I have some information here, I think, on what we've actually spent. The expenses for the Board of Adjustment in the past few years, there were no legal fees at all. So there was just a small per diem and FICA. So the total expense in 2020, it's not on here, but it's in your budget book, was $1,537. That's 20. In 2021, it was about $2,200. So we have this budget, and we just spend what we need to spend. But we put in a little bit extra in case something comes up so we don't have to come back and ask for $500 because we missed a budget.
Yeah, the Board of Adjustments meets monthly, and so it's budgeted, so if we met every month and had a regular meeting, but that doesn't always happen because submittals don't always come in every month.
So the tree planting program, that is, we buy, it's a zero levy budget. We buy trees and then we advertise it and sell it to the public, and they come in. Mostly they're, well, many of you probably know what that is. They're not big trees, they're just little trees. And in 2021, we had revenue of $24,000. 2020, we had revenue of $28,000. And this year, so far, and I'm just picking up the June number, I don't know if everything's booked, we only had $8,400, but typically we make a little bit of money in this department, because going forward, this is another one of these carryover things. There's like $34,000 at the beginning of this year that we had that we've been carrying over from year to year to year that we can spend on these tree programs. But we budget it flat because we're not really sure exactly what's going to happen, but typically we make a little bit of money. So that's a tree planting program. Revolving pre-development department, we put in a budget of $10,000 for expenses and revenues, because if we'd spend anything, we would charge it back to any developer. And in, I gave an example, in 2020, the revenue was $21,000, and there were $4,800 in expenses. The year after that, we had some expense with very little revenue. So I think we billed them early.
The two years kind of
canceled each other out.
Right.
One year we made $16,000, the next year we lost $13,000. And there's a carryover in this category of almost $11,000 that goes back. So if we do lose money, we have these carryovers to fall back on. The third component there is land and water management. The 22 budget. Well, in 2021, we had about $57,000 in revenue, $48,000 in expenses. So we made money in 2021. We usually budget around this $55,000 level. It should balance each other out because we don't use levy for this. This year, or going forward into 2023, we've got a new grant for $40,000 that Andy and his people came up with that has to do with water management. So we budgeted that, and we'll get the money and we'll spend it. There's really no match. So that's another zero levy item, and the increase is due to that new grant, which we will turn around and spend on water management projects. And there's a carryover there also of about $8,400 at the beginning of this year.
And that ends up being, again, depending on the billing cycle. The money comes in, when it goes out, sometimes it crosses over years.
Yeah, that's the only one that looks goofy out of all these carryovers, was that one. But there's still a positive carryover balance in all of them.
Water management projects, what does that entail? Real brief.
Well, two things. In the addition of the $40,000, there's a producer-led group out in the town of Randall that five farmers have banded together and are working through the state, and they got a grant of $40,000, and they asked for the county to manage that. So a county or a conservation group would have to do that. Many times the county does, and we said that we would do that. And so the money will come in and go out for their program. Otherwise, land and water products like grassy waterways, dealing with creating holding ponds, like for farmers where they, you know.
Erosion detention.
All that stuff, right, yep.
That's all I have for planning development in their non-levy departments.
Dog park on page 120.
We will talk about that at parks. It just happens to be on this schedule. That's the last two is parks, and the next two, dog parks and trails. That's in the parks department, and the civic centers and facilities. They just happen to be in this one sheet that we have here. So.
One quick comment on the tree planting program. I have one tree left over that I need somebody to bring a spade by and take out from the planting program. I ordered 25 loose spruce, got 40 of them in the bundle, and they just went gangbusters. So it's a good program.
Cool. Bonus.
Bonus.
Are you giving away the blue spruces? Or how big are they now? Is it last year? Or?
No, I have one that's now 10 foot.
Wow.
I have a
few others that are 6-7 foot that are really looking nice.
Yeah, they sell bare root stock. I mean, it's like 25 bundle is like in your hand.
Yeah.
It's all bare root stock.
But they're good trees.
Yep.
Much better than Arbor Day.
Okay. All right, Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion that we accept the proposed planning and development budget.
All right, we've got a motion. Motion by Supervisor Gashke, second by Supervisor O'Day. Any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll go to the Youth and Governance first. How would you vote on this?
I'm in favor.
Okay, so yay vote on that. All those in favor of the committee?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Resolution passes.
Thank you very much.
That concludes this part of the meeting. Is there any other business that we have?